Welcome to Chair Chat, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat. In 2002, Tamika Isaac Devine became the first African American and one of the youngest people elected to Columbia City Council. In addition to being a city council member, Tamika also has her own law firm and is a law professor. Clearly, she's a very, very busy woman. Councilwoman, thank you so much for joining me for Chair Chats today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, it's so good to have you here.
I'm really excited for the show. I mean, I've seen your episodes, and I think this is just such an exciting program, and I'm honored to be a guest.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So now, you were the first African-American woman elected to Columbia City Council, correct?
Correct.
What inspired you to run for council? What were you doing prior to your run that said, and you woke up that morning and you said, okay, I'm going to run for city council?
Well, it's funny because I've always been interested in government, local, state, federal, and I was more of a behind-the-scenes type person. I'd work on campaigns, I'd work on issues, never really thought of myself as an elected official or wanting or having a desire to run for office. But I was actually a prosecutor with the State Attorney General's office. I was hired by Charlie Condon to be his violence against women prosecutor and run that entire division at the Attorney General's office. And while I was prosecuting and running that division, that was at the time where VAWA was being reauthorized, and throughout the nation, a lot of places were setting up specialized domestic violence courts. And so I helped set up special domestic violence courts throughout the state, and decided, of course, the capital city is my home. We need to set up one here in Columbia. So we wrote a grant. We did not get the grant, and so someone suggested that I ask city council to fund it in the budget. Yeah. And we submitted a request to be funded in the budget, and it got denied. And so it really made me think, okay, who are these people on city council, and you know, what do they do, and what are they spending my taxpayer dollars on? And so I really was one of those people that, you know, people sit back and they complain, but they don't do anything. Yeah. I was kind of complaining. I started looking at more what they were doing, and I realized at that time that there was really no one on city council that looked like me. Mm-hmm. There was no one younger at that time. At the time, the youngest person on council was Mayor Bob, and he's 20 years older than I am. And so there was not a young voice represented. And so I just really kind of thought about the fact, instead of sitting back and complaining, you know, you have something to offer. Why don't you offer yourself to serve the citizens of Columbia? And yeah. So I decided to run.
So did you run against an incumbent or somebody?
I did. I challenged a 16-year incumbent. And I won by less than 200 votes. So I always tell people, when you talk about my vote doesn't matter, yeah. Votes count. Every single vote counts. And had I not had 200 more people than my opponent, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
So as a young person running against an incumbent, I mean, what is your advice to other young people? There are so many young people, young Democrats that I talk to all the time, who are interested in running for office. But as a young person running for change, running against an incumbent, what advice would you give to a young person who's in that predicament?
I would first say that recognize that there are lessons to be learned from the process.
Yeah.
So, you know, win or lose, you can grow from the experience and you can learn a lot. And so if you really enter it into not putting everything onto, you know, oh my gosh, I'll be embarrassed if I don't win or I'll do this, then I think that you take that part out of it. Then I would say, you know, look at what you specifically have to offer. One of the things that I did when I ran the first time, and I've done every single election since, is I don't focus on my opponent. I wasn't saying that the person in that seat wasn't a good council person, but I felt like I had something different to offer. And it was my challenge to explain to the constituency why I was different and why I was the better candidate. And I was able to do that. So I would just say that understand what you bring to the table. Don't be dismayed by lack of experience, age, not coming from a political family. I mean, I had all those folks who told me, you know, you're not going to win. You're too young. You're not in politics. You don't
should you wait your time?
Oh, you didn't pay your dues, yeah. You know, all that stuff. And, you know, I looked at it as in, well, gosh, what's the worst that can happen? I run and I don't win, but I meet a lot of great people in the process, and I learn a lot about our city. And so, you know, having that outlook, you know, it made it more about why I was running versus, you know, whether or not I won or lost.
Do you think you experienced any challenges specifically because you were a woman?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, even now as an elected official, being a woman, I get people, I don't raise as much money as some of my male counterparts. Sometimes people want to approach me for the women's issues, and I have taken on a lot of women's issues because I know that they're important, but I don't take them on because they're women's issues. I take them on because they're important issues to our community. But when I was running, yes, I was a young African-American female who didn't have political connections. And so I had a lot of naysayers who felt like, you know, oh, you know, maybe you should run for school board. You know, thought that maybe that was more appropriate for a female. But I think that for me, it's always about proving why I deserve a seat at the table. And it's not necessarily about race or gender. It's about, you know, qualifications.
Exactly.
And I have the same qualifications as anybody else of another race or another gender.
One of the big issues here in Columbia is how to address the issues of violence in the Five Points area, and whether or not those issues will bleed into these new areas where we're getting some of our college students to downtown and also into the Vista. What are your thoughts or your plans on how we tackle those particular issues?
Specifically, though, for Five Points, I think that we have to make sure that we are in constant contact with the university because we know that a lot of students go down there. And unfortunately, you know, I was young once. You know, young people don't always think about the safety as they're going out and having fun. And so it's our job as a city to be thinking about it for them. And so we need to encourage an environment that not only exudes safety all the time, but that we have the resources necessary so if anything unfortunate does happen, that we have resources down there to address it very quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is such a buzz going on right now in Columbia because of all of the new development, particularly downtown in the Vista and on Main Street, all of the new housing opportunities that are becoming available. Give me a little sense of what was your vision as a member of City Council, and are these changes fitting within the mold of that vision that you had for the city?
I'll say when I was first elected, I was single, no children. And so one of my focuses and visions were to make Columbia more vibrant for the young professionals and the people so that we weren't losing them to Charlotte and Atlanta. And I do think that we've been able to really capitalize on the benefits that we have here in Columbia and retain our best and brightest. Mm-hmm. Former Councilman Daniel Rickman and I co-founded CORE, Columbia Opportunity Resource, which has now just hit 10 years. And, you know, now CORE is really the hub for young professionals staying downtown, staying in the city. And so that part of the vision has really kind of come to fruition. You know, once I got married and have kids, you know, my vision shifted a little bit about making sure that we have a partnership with our schools. You know, unlike in some other states, you know, our city is not over our schools. We haven't elected a school board, which my husband serves on. And so I look at how do we partner with the school district? We don't oversee the school district, but we can partner with them to make sure that we have good schools so that young families want to live in the city. And so my vision has shifted a little bit with my experiences and as I get older. But I still think that, you know, our city is always evolving. There's always new opportunities, new things coming, and it's real exciting. My good friend, Marvin Chernoff, who passed away earlier this year, years ago, he wanted a slogan for the city saying, "It's happening now."
Yeah.
And everybody hated that slogan, and it didn't go. And I always say, you know, Marvin, you know, had a vision back then, and it really is happening now. There are so many exciting things happening in our city. And I'm proud to say that I've been part of that for the last 13 years. And a lot of things that we really started 10 years ago that people didn't really see the vision or see that it could really be something positive for the city, like Main Street, is really happening. And people are now looking at the fact that, oh, wow, the seeds were planted 10, 15 years ago.
Can you share with us some of the plans or ideas that you have for Findlay Park, which I think is something that the council had been talking about, and of course, the Riverwalk, which, you know, my family, we take advantage of that, the Riverwalk and the zoo almost every weekend. Any insight that you have into what type of changes we should expect in Columbia in those areas?
Well, there are a lot of things that are happening, and it's so funny because, again, seeds get planted, and it takes a while to get there. Yeah. But once it starts happening, people are like, wow, you know. But one of the things that we just did, we approved earlier this year our White Walk Bike Columbia Master Plan, which I'm really excited about. And that was something that I personally fought for several years ago to get the funding and then hire a consultant to help us develop this plan. And with input from the citizens, we've adopted a plan which will connect the city and make it more pedestrian and bicycle friendly. Yeah. So it connects the riverfront. Eventually, the riverfront will be connected with Findlay Park, which will be connected with North Columbia, which will be connected down into Five Points. And so you can literally get on a trail either by bike or by pedestrian, and you can get to a lot of the hot spots in Columbia. So that's going to be something that you'll see starting to come to fruition. Another thing with Findlay Park, we have a $20 million plan to invest in Findlay Park.
I can tell you, my wife is very much, I don't know if you've noticed, but we're building a house over there, and she is very interested in whatever happens in Findlay Park.
It is, Findlay Park, and I'm a Columbia native, so I grew up in Columbia, and I remember my senior year in high school is when Findlay Park opened. And I remember I lived in Northeast Columbia at the time, and we would come down to Findlay Park on Sundays to just hang out. I mean, it was a beautiful park. It was a beautiful place to be. Over the years, unfortunately, the city has not invested in Findlay Park the way it should. And so the park has deteriorated. And I think all of us are embarrassed by that. And so you have a commitment from this current council to invest in Findlay Park, to bring it back to where it needs to be, where you have not just, you know, teenagers, but, you know, families, parents, grandparents with young children, you know, everybody coming and enjoying, you know, our jewel of a park. And so we do have a plan that will call for a $20 million investment in Findlay Park. It will recreate the water feature that's currently there. It will, again, as I mentioned, Findlay Park will have a tunnel under it, and it will link to parts of the Greenway so you can walk from Findlay Park down to the river and some other places. We're going to, you know, make the amphitheater part a little bit better. So there's going to be a lot of new amenities, Findlay Park, and it really will truly be a regional park, not just for people who live here in Columbia, but people who visit Columbia will find it as a destination place to go to.
Well, I also know that you and your husband wrote a book. And can you tell us a little bit about the book and what's been going on with you and your family?
Sure. We actually wrote a book entitled Born into Heaven, mm-hmm. Lessons of Love, Faith, and Reclaiming Your Joy in the Midst of a Storm. And the book is actually about the loss of our son. Yep. We actually, our son was stillborn last year, actually the same weekend that y'all welcomed mm-hmm. your beautiful baby boy. And, you know, through that experience, we have learned so much about ourselves as individuals, as ourselves as a couple, and as ourselves as Christians. You know, I think a lot of times people go through a storm and they want to be angry at God, or they question God's providence. And, you know, for us, it was really learning that, you know, God has a plan for all of our lives. And although it may not be the path that you would have chosen for yourself, there's a purpose in what you're going through. And so we share the lessons that we learned through that and about what we believe God has taught us through this experience and wants us to share with others that may experience a similar loss or another loss. I mean, it doesn't have to be a loss of a child, but, you know, a loss of a relationship, yeah. a loss of another loved one. There are a lot of things that you go through when you're going through traumatic life experiences. And so we're hoping that people can really gain from that how amazing God is and how he really can be there for you in the midst of a storm if you just trust him.
And it already hit. I mean, I went online and I saw it already hit number one in a particular category on Amazon.
It did. It hit actually number one in three different categories.
Wow.
grief and bereavement, faith, and parenting. So we're real excited about that. We wanted to release it around the our baby's birthday. So we released it the week of his birthday, and so with that, the print copy actually will be released September 29th, and with that, we're also launching a foundation that we founded to help support other families that go through this loss. One of the things for us is we're both public officials, and so, you know, although it's hard to go through such a personal loss in public, the positive part about that is we had thousands of people praying for us and supporting us, and not every family has that because they don't have the positions we have. And so I think about what we went through and had we not had that kind of support in that village that we had. And so our foundation will, number one, help support families who have been affected by baby loss, and then number two, help support research around stillbirths, because like I mentioned, we lost our son. He was I was 37 and a half weeks pregnant, and most people have no idea that you can actually lose a child at that late in your pregnancy. When you go to doctor's appointments and everything is fine. And so I'm hoping that, you know, by supporting research efforts, we can help decrease those incidents that happen.
You mentioned earlier that your husband, Jamie, is on the school board. And just recently, the state newspaper reported that some kids in South Carolina have to go through a 3-hour daily commute to and from school. As a mother, as married to someone on the school board, how would you suggest that, where do you think this problem lies, and how do we fix this problem in South Carolina?
Well, I think the big place the problem lies is with funding. I mean, I think certainly, you know, our state is one of the only states who handles the school buses the way we do. And I think we really need to look at changing the way we, you know, buy our buses and manage the school buses. But I think that funding is a huge issue. We need to be able to provide more buses so that you don't have buses that are picking up children from elementary school and middle school and high school, and they're all riding to and from. But I think that as a state that has rural areas, we're going to have challenges, but we have to have real innovative, creative leadership from the top down to really look at these issues and figure out what's best for our children. And if that means investing more money, there doesn't need to be any hesitation in doing that.
Yeah. You're so busy. What do you do for fun?
I say I'm a runner. Honestly, I have not put on my tennis shoes in about 3 weeks. I've run, I read, mentioned the books. I always challenge myself to at least read one new book a month. This year I've done pretty well at doing, sometimes two or sometimes even three books a month. So I read, I love reading. And then probably the most important is spending time with my family. You know, my husband is my best friend, and we are doting parents. And so, you know, our fun Friday night is putting on some jeans and getting pizza and watching the Disney Channel.
Final question. As chair of the party, I'm constantly reviewing my list of folks that I can recruit to run for higher office. And your name is on my list of, you know, who are the talent, the pure talent in the state. Do you have any aspirations for running for higher office one day, or Madam Mayor or Senator or Governor?
I love what I do. I love local government because, truly I believe that every decision I make impacts people from, you know, at the very basic level, and I love that. And so I really want to continue my work on the local level. However, I do know, I always say, never say never. Yeah. I don't know what God has in plan for me. And even the events of the last year, I know that God will put you in directions. I never thought I'd be an author. So I know God will put you on a path and put you in directions that you may have never, ever thought about. So I will never discount it. And I do know that in order for us to really have true change in this state, we need good people in various levels of office. And so I won't close any doors, but right now I'm very happy where I am.
Well, good. It's good to hear that as chairman of a party, it's good to hear that you won't close any doors. This 2018 is knocking on our door. Well, Councilwoman, I have so enjoyed spending some time with you, rocking chairs and lemonade. It's been a great time having you here at Chair Chat.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for being with us. And thank you, because you're always welcome on Chair Chats.
On the next Chair Chats,
I think music really has helped to change the world, change America in many aspects. Do you think music still has that type of effect now?
I think, you know, we live in a market culture, so you get market religion, you get market education, and we get market-driven music. So a lot of the richness of the music has actually been flattened out. Mm-hmm. You don't get the deep soulfulness, you know, you don't get that soothing sweetness against the backdrop of the darkness. You know?